Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is the University President, Dr. Bob Jones III. The title of his message is Commitment, a Greatly Lacking Commodity. The text is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 18.
I would ask you this morning, if you would, to open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. As you're doing so, let me make a brief announcement. An email announcement will be coming to present students today, reminding you that if you do not intend to be with us second semester, that you cancel your reservation, let us know that you will not be returning. If you are hoping to be back second semester, and there may be doubts about finances, whatever, and are praying and planning that somehow it shall be possible, even though you may not see how it's possible at the moment, you have until the 31st to wait and see what God might do. So please take care of that. We hope you will be back. We hope that you'll trust God and let Him prove Himself to you in this matter. If He has called you here, don't sell Him short. See what He might do. See what miracle He might perform for you, what provision, what opening of the Red Sea might occur at the hand of God. We look forward to the second semester. The year is not over at the completion of this semester. It's only half over, and so the job's only half done. We look forward to your coming back and completing the job and showing diligence and commitment to the will of God that brought you here in the first place. In connection with that, I want to read these verses to you from 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. Paul, of course, was not speaking about a chain around his neck. He was speaking about a chain on his wrists and his feet that bound him to the Roman guards. That was the custom for a prisoner. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. I want to preach to you this morning about commitment, a greatly lacking commodity in our nation, and also among the people of God. I think every preacher, every pastor would tell you one of the things he longs for most in the people of his congregation would be a commitment to the Scriptures, to their integrity, to their authority, a commitment to the ministry of the gospel, a commitment to getting the gospel to souls, a commitment in all things. If you lack commitment, you have a character problem. Commitment is an issue of character. Look how little character is manifested today in the area of commitment. Look how many marriage vows, about half of them, we're told, are broken in our nation. And I'm afraid the success of Christian marriages is not any better than the national averages. Look how many people refuse to pay their bills. When you buy a car, a house, when you purchase an education and the school as we do here, not many schools do it that I know of, but we do it here. We allow you, when you graduate, to sign a payment schedule saying, I will pay what the school has loaned to me in order that I can complete my education. You have a little payment book and monthly payments are expected. If you don't pay those commitments, you have a major character problem. If you don't pay the bank, the lending institution for your house payments, your car payments, or whatever you've promised to pay, you have a character problem. Commitment is an issue of character. You keep your promises. You sign a contract with an employer. Say, I will work under these circumstances and within these boundaries of time. I will start on this day and Here's the terms under which I terminate, if I terminate, and I will keep my commitments about all things to my employer. All the requirements connected with my employment, I will keep. Whether I feel like it or not, whether it's convenient or not, whether a better offer comes to me or not, if I'm under contract, I'm under obligation to keep my commitments to my employer. If I don't, I'm a dirty, rotten skunk. I'm a crook. I'm a very ungodly person in my character. You promise at a marriage altar you will keep your promise to your spouse. That's a commitment. When the Lord saved us, He committed Himself to us unconditionally in His love. The love of God is not conditional upon our love to Him, our faithfulness to Him, our integrity, or anything else. It's dependent upon the Word of God, the promise of God. It's dependent upon the character of God. The relationship of God to His church is borne out, is exemplified in the earth between a Christian man and a Christian woman's commitment to each other. Ephesians chapter 5. Regardless of how that spouse responds to you, regardless of whether they're agreeable or disagreeable, pleasant or unpleasant, you have a commitment to that person. An unconditional commitment of marriage. Marriage is a commitment. It has nothing to do with how you feel or how your spouse feels. It's a commitment. You have an obligation to keep your word. And it's a scoundrel who won't. You tell somebody you will meet them at an appointed time, on an appointed day. You have a commitment to that appointment. You say to them, I will complete this task that I'm assigned to or that I've been contracted with to do. I will deliver the goods on a certain day. You have a commitment to the person you made the agreement with to deliver what is promised at the deadline. I know some very talented people. We have a real character problem when it comes to commitment. Some talented Christian people. Some people I love and appreciate very much. But who have a character problem when it comes to commitment. They promise and they don't deliver at the deadline. Talent doesn't compensate for that. Promises are promises and they must be kept. Examine with me very briefly in our limited time this matter of Onesiphorus. I don't know what is on his tombstone. I don't know where he's buried. Only the Lord knows. But perhaps those who knew him well put on his tombstone, here lies a committed man. As far as the Scripture tells us about him, all we know about Onesiphorus is his sterling character quality of commitment. It's all we know about him. Let's examine it here as it relates to the Apostle Paul, the prisoner at Rome. A committed man is a determined man. Look at verse 17 again. He sought me out very diligently. Look at it. Very diligently. He had guts. Understand what he was up against. He'd come from Ephesus in Asia Minor. He'd arrived by ship to Rome. We don't know if he was there on business, on pleasure, what brought him to Rome. We're not told. Perhaps it was justifying Paul. But whatever the reason, while he was there, he determined to find Paul. Now you say, well, so what? Well, Rome was a major city. It was the center of the Roman Empire, obviously. There were many prisons. There were many prisoners. The Roman legions, the armies of Rome, when they would conquer, they would bring back many slaves and many prisoners, and war after war had filled Rome with slaves and prisoners, as well as the civil prisoners and all the rest that they had there. It's no small task to find Paul a prisoner. Imagine that you're from Puerto Rico, And your name is one that you're familiar with around here, Casillas. I like those aristocratic Spanish names. I mean, I've always wished I could have an aristocratic name. You know, Jones. What could be more plebeian? Jones. Casillas. That's a nice name. There's music. Or Mendoza or whatever. A common Spanish name. Beautiful name. And so you come from Puerto Rico and you have a second cousin thrice removed by your name, Casillas, in New York City. And he says, I'm going to go find him. I haven't ever met him. I heard about him. I'm going to go see him. You get to New York City, open up the phone book. No easy task to find his phone number. There may be 20,000, maybe 40,000 Casillases in New York City. But you say, I'm not going back to Puerto Rico until I find him. You may be months, you may be years sorting through all of this maze of names, Casillas, till you find the person you're committed to find. That was a little bit of what Onesiphorus was up against. It would have been easy for him to return to Ephesus, saying, well, I tried, couldn't do it, come back home, I missed my family. No, he was committed to the duty of finding Paul and bringing him comfort. And he stayed until he did. What have you ever done in life that you can think of that was a matter of duty? It wasn't pleasant necessarily. Required arduous trouble and care. But somehow you did it. Was it not a feeling of great accomplishment? A feeling of nobility? That you did right. You did what was expected. No matter how much you sweated. No matter how the task was unsavory. You did it because it was right to do. You have a duty in the few days remaining between now and the end of the semester to the duty of finishing well what you began in September. Vacation is over. Another vacation is coming. But there's a little period of time here that requires great diligence to the duty of study and preparation. Not as much fun as vacation. Brain sweat. You have a duty. What will you do with it? You see, young people, it's in the small things of life, in the daily routines of life, where our duty is required and performed, that we build character, that we grow character, that we end better than we started. You have that opportunity. What will you do with it? What will you do with it insofar as finishing the rest of the year? Graduating. Completing what you started. The world is full of dropouts. Full of talented people who had so much potential, but had no guts, had no grit. Had no commitment to commitments, to doing right, to completing the job. And they never amounted to anything. All that wasted talent. All that potential that could have been put in the hands of God for eternal good with His blessing upon it. But He didn't find you faithful in the small things. The fulfilling of your appointments, the paying of your bills, the keeping of your vows, your contracts. He didn't find you faithful. And because you were unfaithful in that which was least, He could not make you blessed with that which was most. He sought Paul out very diligently. He was a determined man, very diligently. Secondly, I find in this passage that commitment is constant. Look at verse 16. He oft refreshed me. That's repetitive. In verse 18, and how many things he ministered to me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Timothy, to whom he was writing in this letter, knew Onesiphorus. They were both from Ephesus. And when Paul had been at Ephesus, this man, Onesiphorus, was ministering a helper to the missionary cause of Paul. He said, Timothy, he's doing it now here in Rome, caring for me in this prison, bringing me some comforts that otherwise I would do without. But he sacrificed himself to help me, even as he did, as you know, Timothy, at Ephesus. Commitment is constant. It's a matter of character. It's not spasmodic. It's repetitive because it's in your character to be this way. You're this way wherever you are, at BJU, home at church. You make a promise about a Sunday school class. You make a promise about a visitation effort or whatever, and you do it. And nobody has to wonder if you will do it because you've done that before. You've proven yourself faithful and trustworthy. Folks, this is Christianity being lived for the glory of God. I hope it's in you. The founder of this institution said dependability is the greatest ability. Let me read you something. 50 years ago, a group of researchers began an ambitious long-term study of 268 male college students analyzing the paths their lives were to take. Among these men, now in their 70s, the researchers found school performance was little related to job competence. Good grades in school, little related to job competence. Qualities like steady, dependable, practical, organized were more important. And I'll bet you any employer you ever talk to will say, yes, I found that to be the case when I've hired college graduates. Let me tell you about another true situation. Three women started a West Coast design company 14 years ago. They furnished model homes for the housing industry. They built their business on simple dependability more than on strokes of creative genius. Last year, the company volume exceeded $2 million because they have never been late for an installation. They survived the recession when their competitors went bankrupt. Once they came to a grand opening of a subdivision and the furniture for the model home was on a truck somewhere between North Carolina and California. The ladies went out and bought $5,000 worth of items at retail prices, which ate up most of their profit. But because they didn't let the builder down, the developer of the project said, quote, "The best ability is dependability. We would stick with these women to our dying day because we know they will go to such lengths to keep their word." Dependability is an issue of character that is exercised even when it costs us something. And if you're only dependable if it doesn't cost you something, you're not dependable. You're dependable, you're committed to do what you said you would do, no matter what it cost you. You do it because it's right to do it. God is looking for people to use who have character like this. And if you find you don't have this kind of character, then it's time to wake up and say, by God's grace, I will, because it's right. The Holy Spirit of God chose to tell us one thing about this one man. And I would have to say, it must be because He wants us to understand that God, the Holy Spirit, the triune God, puts importance upon commitment. Because this is the example of it from one man's life. There must have been many other good things about this man, but God the Holy Spirit said that Bob Jones University in early December, there are going to be several thousand people assembled that need to learn that if they aren't committed, they're worthless. Whatever other qualities they have are of no value by comparison. If they're not committed, they're worthless. And I would say to you straight A students and to you talented musicians and you talented athletes and you talented whatever you are, you're worthless if you don't have commitment in your character. Because all of those qualities that have so much that could be put to use for the glory of God will all go down the drain. I'll give you an example. In the staff or faculty here, I don't care how brilliant a faculty member might be or how talented an artist might be or a musician might be or whatever. If they don't show up for class, if they don't meet their deadlines that are given to them for the production of whatever they have to do, there's no place for them here. Their talent doesn't make a way for them if it does, is not accompanied with dependability. And so it is in any venue of life. I thank God for people here that are committed. I'll give you an example. Came to me the other day from an assistant pastor out west. He says, we're attempting to get an intern for the summer. Our goal is to help a young man gain a burden and a desire to minister in the West. I've been in touch with all of the fundamental colleges. Out of those colleges, BJU was by far the most helpful and courteous. I phoned two different colleges, and no one could find out who was in charge of that area and who could help me. One college sent me to the Welcome Center. Another college sent me to the president's secretary. Of the five colleges I taught with, only BJ and one other college has even responded to my inquiries. The day I called BJ, I was put through to Dr. McAllister's office and spoke with Naomi Collier. I told her what I was looking for, and within about 2 hours, I had an email containing all of the requirements for the Preacher Boys summer internships. I then responded back with her regarding what we were offering and who the guys could contact. The other college that did respond chose to respond by regular mail. I returned all of the information immediately to them and have yet to hear what the next step is they would have me to take. I just wanted to let you know that I again appreciate the quick, courteous, knowledgeable staff at BJ. Thank you for making us learn the discipline and commitments to doing things in a prompt and professional manner. We're trying to teach you to do things in that manner, and we must do them in that manner ourselves. And if we don't, we should be ashamed. And if we don't, we'll do it better next time, because we're committed to this. Commitment is constant. It's repetitive. It's the ability to do the right thing every time and often. And the Bible describes Onesiphorus as being that kind of man. The Apostle Paul had many who appreciated him, many that had been led to Christ through his ministry, many that had been grown and brought in to the fellowship of the church and discipled there, but only one man out of all of his friends went to the trouble, the sacrifice, the expense, traveling a great distance under hard circumstances in those days to find him and minister to him. You know why that man did? Because it was a pattern of his life. He'd done it before. It was reflexive with him. He just couldn't help doing it. Commitment was an issue of character with him. Paul didn't send for him. Paul didn't ask him to come. Paul didn't expect him to come. He came because it was right to do it. What have you done lately that cost you something? A friendship, trouble, money, concern and care, labor. What have you done lately that cost you something that you didn't have to do, but you did it because it was right to do and there was a need to be met and you volunteered to do it? Because you were committed to doing what you could for Christ's sake, to meet a need that another person had. What have you done lately that you didn't have to do that cost you something, but you did it because it was right to do? The more you do it, the more repetitive it becomes, the easier it is to do, and the more second nature it is to do, and the less you feel put upon for doing it. Ladies and gentlemen, the great need of the church at this hour is for committed Christians to do right and to fulfill the calling of God that He's put upon their lives. God has called you to be JU. Fulfill the doing of it. If you walk out because it's hard, because you have a girlfriend or boyfriend back home, because you miss mommy's cooking, or the nice fluffy pillow she makes for you each morning when she does your bed, and you walk out on what's hard today because you look back. The Bible says if a man puts his hand to the plow and looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. Neither are you, neither am I. There's no greater enemy to commitment and fulfilling the will of God than looking back from whence you came to the ease, to the leeks and garlic of Egypt like Israel did when they were in the hard place of the wilderness with their face toward the land of Canaan. They turned their face around back to the land of slavery, back to what they complained about when they had it. But by the comparison of the wilderness, it looked great. The leeks and garlics tasted yummy compared to the boring manna that they got used to. We can get used to anything from the hand of God. They saw daily miracles and they got used to it. And it didn't look like anything wonderful anymore. The leeks and garlics that they moaned and complained about now look great by comparison. They were spoiled rotten. And so are we in modern day Christendom. We're spoiled rotten with the blessings and goodness of God. We take it for granted and we complain about it. Have to go to chapel again. Have to go to church so many times a week. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. I guarantee you that kind of thinking would keep you from the mission field, or if you get there, you'll come home prematurely before the job is done. I told you yesterday about David Edens, who for 28 years prepared an alphabet, a language, and then translated the New Testament into that language that he'd created for the nomadic people of the Sahara region. There's a committed man. I hear all the time of missionaries who go and stay part of a term, or maybe they even complete a 4-year term and don't go back because it was hard and they missed their parents, missed their children, missed their comforts of American society or whatever. People are going to hell across this world because Christians lack commitment to do what is right and to fulfill the will of God. You are engaged, I trust. Most every one of you would say, I came to BJU in the will of God. Well, finish it. Stay committed to the will of God. You walk out on the will of God now, you'll spend the rest of your life walking out on the will of God, and perhaps even in your marriage commitment, because it is not God's will that you should be divorced. The Bible's very clear about that. I think it would be a good exercise for all of us on a regular basis to come back and meditate on the commitment of Onesiphorus. I desire to be a man like this. I hope you do too. There's a cost. But there's the blessing of God that nothing else can compare with. Leaving your possessions alone, shall we bow together and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we all struggle with the flesh, with the desire for ease and comfort. But there's a world to be reached. There's a testimony, Lord, for you to be born in the earth. There's the light of the gospel, the light of Christ. And the church's compromise with this culture has made that light very, very dim. And Lord, you're calling us, the redeemed people of this congregation, you're calling us to make much of Jesus Christ in this world. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. Lord, You endured the cross for us. You are committed to the purpose that brought You in flesh into this world. You suffered to keep Your commitment to Your cross for us. Make us Christ-like in our character.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was the University President, Dr. Bob Jones III. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.